listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 135. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who a moment ago could not stop vaping at all, John Brownstone. Did you get it out of your system?
My mind is fried.
I know, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. I know, I can see it in your face, so your eyes are all glazed over. Yeah, we should probably start the show, huh?
Yes.
That's probably what we should do now.
Yeah.
Yeah. This week, we're reminding everyone, including ourselves, that there's no such thing as perfection. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, or on Instagram at that handle I hate, lovingds and the number one, lovingds1. All links are in the show notes. You always give me this look when I say it's that handle I hate.
Yeah.
I really hate that. We had a good handle, but Instagram is fucked up. It took my good handle away from me. Right. It makes me mad. I don't like it.
Okay. I'll send military duck after them.
You're playing with stuff on your desk. Nobody can see what's on your desk. This is audio. This is audio. They can't see you.
I'll take a picture of military duck.
You totally should.
And put it on Instagram.
At that handle I hate. So we have not gotten out of the habit of recording late at night.
No.
On Thursdays. And we really need to because our brains are fried.
Yes.
We'll talk about this more in the mm-hmm. bonus section, but you have been sitting staring at a computer screen for what, 3 or 4 days straight? Four days straight now. Right. And today I had a medical procedure and then came home and wrote 3,500 words.
Yeah.
You know, as you did. So yeah, we're probably a little punch drunk.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect segue into, hey, we have this thing.
into what we have to talk about today.
So I am going to start with an announcement.
Okay.
Before I start with an announcement. Yay, we're back from vacation. Yes, we're glad to be back too.
Yeah. Good to be home. It was nice to go away.
It was.
Had a good time. In many ways, it was relaxing.
Yes. And we can get into that more later too. But yes, I did want to sort of acknowledge we're back.
We're back.
It's terrifying, isn't it? and clearly, we were gone for too long because look at us. We're like 2 or 3 minutes in. We're still not into an episode yet. Okay. So announcement. We are actively asking, requesting, begging. I'm not above begging. For
You're
people,
good at begging.
only for you, Dad. for people who want to, and only people who want to and can, to join us on Patreon. Patreon mm-hmm. is a place where people can financially support the creative people, artists, podcasters, writers, bloggers, all those people that they want to. And we happen to be there. Now, I have been there for a long, long time.
You have.
But I have just recently changed the Patreon page to reflect you as well.
Ooh.
I know.
Feel special.
The URL is patreon.com/KaylaLords. The link will be in the show notes, y'all. But I changed I didn't change the URL because it's nice and short. But I did change it. It's not just Kayla Lords is creating. It's Kayla Lords and John Brownstone are creating together. There's even a picture of our little cheesy smiling faces.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to pay to see that picture. It's right in the header. So why you might want to do this, other than because you want to help us do these things that we do, and we love you for that. I record 2 podcast episodes a month right now. I'm trying mm-hmm. to hopefully one day have enough support and financial support to be able to have the time to do more. But I'm going back in my old KaylaLords.com blog archive mm-hmm. and recording previous blog posts. And I think I'm going to start adding commentary to that because they're from 6 years ago. Many of them are from the beginnings of my submissive side and discovery, and there's a lot to be said about that. But we just...
I noticed that several of them said, this is before John Brownstone.
Oh, yes, I make sure to clarify that this is not John Brownstone. I kind of can't wait till we get to that point where I'm like, look, it's a John Brownstone one. but we are also, you and I just did the first one where we do...
the bonus section.
It's a bonus section. And it is all about behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
So stuff we might sometimes have talked about in these bonus sections,
uh-huh.
they're going to mostly be saved for Patreon.
Right.
Because...
Peek behind the curtain, so to speak.
Exactly. We call our patrons kinky patrons because of course we do. And my thinking is if you're going to help financially support the work we do, you should get to see the work side of it and not just us goofing around in front of a microphone. Although there is that, because that's just what we do too.
We're so good at it.
We can't help it. So there's that. And it is, since we don't have the paid community, we don't have the community at all right now, the online community, and we certainly don't have paid membership anymore. This is what we decided to do, because although I stopped charging people for something they didn't even have to begin with, the things that money paid for didn't go away. And so here's this option. It's certainly not a requirement. It's certainly not, you're going to get access to all the free educational stuff we already offer if you never do it. If you can't do it, but you see us talking about it on Twitter, if you retweet it, we love that because that does help us. But if you can and you have the funds and you want to and it sounds fun to you, then we would love to have you. patreon.com/KaylaLords, or like I said, it's in the show notes, and we will be tweeting about it hopefully more frequently. I'm really bad about self-promotion.
I've been bad about Twitter,
just Twitter in general,
lately,
but we'll talk about that later. We're gonna get into an episode now. So here's how this one happened. We were doing, even though we have lists of topics, for us the topics have to sort of hit, they have to strike a chord.
Yeah.
We have to hear the topic and go, oh, I know what I could say about that. it wasn't happening. And something, I can't remember what one of us must have said or did. And I said, oh, I've got a topic.
And I just spun around in my chair.
And you're like, what topic? So I talked about how you know, there's no such thing as perfection in any DS relationship. It doesn't exist. You can be
in any
relationship. You're yawning into the microphone now.
Yeah.
You're supposed to turn your head away when you do that. I know. 3/4 of the way through, I know. You know, you can be perfect for each other. And I made sure to put that in my little notes here because I wanted to make sure to say that, because I feel like you are perfect for me and I am perfect for you. I am not perfect for everybody else, and that's okay. But there's no such thing as perfection. The perfection just doesn't even exist. So, but I see a lot of people, y'all know I'm a lurker. I see a lot of people online who are going through really tough times, or just in general, and that always hurts my heart for you. I don't want you to go through heartbreak, but I know it happens. But sometimes it's more of worries and fears that then a day later, a week later, it's more of a, oh, I overreacted, or, oh, I was worried about something that wasn't even a thing to worry about. And some of that, not all of it, comes down to these ideas of what we think the relationship is supposed to be, and then the reality of the relationship. And they don't always match in our heads. And I always feel like if we can get what we have in our heads to match reality a little bit more closely, then we'll all be a little happier. So when I suggested this idea to you, I said, no, well, we can talk about the fact that there are things we don't love about, you know, we love each other, but there are things you don't like about the other. And I didn't even say anything. And he goes, yeah, I know, you hate the sound of my chewing. And I said, I said, only in specific circumstances. It's only if he's eating and I'm not, then it's like all I hear. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't stand this. I have learned how to deal with it. That's my issue. That's not your issue. Yeah, it's not like true. I go around going, you got to stop eating. I can't stand this. That's bullshit. I'm like, oh.
As much as I'm happy to be losing weight, I prefer not to just stop eating completely.
It's something I don't like, but that's my problem, not yours. So I have to deal with it and I find ways around it. So I said, but you can say those kinds of things about me. What don't you like about me? Now, if we all remember, John Brownstone is a nicer human being than I am. So because I feel perfectly safe with him, I will tell him the things I don't like about him. But he is nicer than I am. And so he won't tell me those things, not because he's worried, or, you know, he might be a little worried he'll hurt my feelings or get a baby girl pal going, but because he's just a genuinely good human.
And I think I rolled a few things out right off.
I am going forward with my story.
Okay,
so
all right.
He gives me this look of, oh, I don't think I can do that. And I said, no. Go ahead. It's okay. Go ahead. And that was all the encouragement he needed. And then he went on a roll. And then I learned about things he didn't like about me that I didn't even know he didn't like about me. Would you like to tell them what you don't like about me?
Yes.
Go ahead. I can take it. I've already been there. You've already done it to me.
You know, I have an idea.
I had no idea you hated that.
It's not that I hate the particular phrase. It is the frequency of the particular phrase.
I've got ideas, okay?
I know.
And you know what's funny? So you are so sort of, I don't want to say trained. That sounds like the opposite of DS. But you're so programmed for that to mean that there's a thing I want us to do. That's just how I start conversations right. with you, because I'm always thinking about mm-hmm. something. And sometimes I'm thinking about what we should have for dinner. I'm thinking about where we should go, you know, to buy groceries. I'm thinking about when we should do a thing. And so I'll say that, and you immediately, and I should have realized that it was bothering you, because you immediately tense up and go, oh God. I'm like, no, this, I have to qualify. No, I don't want us to.
And my eyes roll so far back in my head.
Well, I don't see that, mostly because I choose not to see that. But so that was the conversation where he, and that wasn't even the only thing you pointed out.
No.
What was the other thing? There was something else now.
The bathroom fan.
Oh, God.
That fucking thing run 24/7 if I didn't get up and turn it off.
So we have a very, I feel like I need to explain myself. We have a very small home, less than 1,000 square feet. It's fine. We're going to be moving in a year or so. We need something bigger, but it's fine. And I am really weird about certain body functions and certainly odors. So I like the bathroom fan to be run after certain times. I don't have to tell y'all what times those are. Y'all know. But I'll let it run for forever. I mean, it becomes white noise to me. And I'm going to let it run until I am positive there is nothing left behind. All the molecules are gone. And what he didn't know until he started working from home was that I do that all the time. And it pretty much just, it doesn't stay on indefinitely. It just stays
on. Yeah, it stays on until I turn it off.
Well, before you, it just stayed on until I went back into the bathroom.
See,
and
come
it turned
home
it off.
From work and
it
the fan be on and I'd turn it off.
It would not.
Yeah,
you're
it would.
Exaggerating.
No, I'm not.
So, anyway, this is a long way to explain why we're talking about this today. But it was, part of it was the acknowledgement that we absolutely can annoy the hell out of one another. Thankfully, we mostly, what are you doing? Are you annoying me on purpose?
No, this is what I hear.
What is that? I feel like this became a therapy session for you. No, clearly nothing is perfect. So what was that for? The drumming of the nails. That's what that was, if you couldn't tell, because he forgot this is audio again. What was that?
I'll be sitting here at my desk working.
Right.
And all of a sudden I hear.
Okay, it's fingernails
yeah.
tapping. I don't do that. Do I do that?
Yes.
I'm sure I'm thinking.
Yes, I'm sure that's what it is.
Oh my God. No wonder my fingers are worn down to nubs. So clearly.
You didn't even realize you
no.
do that?
No. I mean, I'll recognize it now.
Ah.
So this was not meant to be an episode on all the quirks that Kayla Lourdes does that John Brownstone hates. I apologize that we did not label this episode better, because I had no idea.
Hey, you put it out there.
I think my overall point is
yes.
that, you know, there's this idea that you can look at a relationship from the outside and you can see total compatibility. And I think I would say that if you are able to laugh off these things and to not let them absolutely drive a wedge between you.
Right.
I mean, if we got to a point where I had to go sit in the bedroom closet every time you ate a meal that I wasn't also eating at, that would be difficult.
That would be a problem.
That would be a problem, you
yes.
know? Or if every time I apparently drum my fingers on a desk, you turn around and yelled at me. That would be a problem. But it's, I talk to a lot of kinksters, primarily submissives, primarily female, women submissives, who worry. They worry, there's this thought in their head of what a relationship is supposed to be, what it's supposed mm-hmm. to be like when you are compatible. There's also the high of new relationship energy where everything does sort of seem to be perfect.
True.
And as you come down from that high and you kind of get into the details and the nitty gritty of being in a relationship mm-hmm. and the work that it takes, it can throw people off.
Sure.
The first time you find a thing, the first time I realized you had a thing that annoyed me, I will admit, I got nervous. I was like, oh my God, that's how it started with my ex-husband. He had a thing. I hated it about him.
I told you way in the beginning when we first started out, I told you, do not put me on a pedestal.
Right.
Okay. Do not do that because I am far from perfect. And you put me on a pedestal and you look up to me in that manner, I'm going to fuck up. And I'm going to fuck up big and I'm going to fall hard.
And here's the funny thing. I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
I remember going, oh, I won't, Daddy. Don't worry. And then I did. And then we had a situation where you tumbled right off that pedestal. See? And yet we recovered from it.
Yeah.
Now, part of it, I think, is that it's always better, it's personal opinion here, when people are more humble than not. Like, you can't walk around being mm-hmm. totally humble all the time. Some people can. I'm not one of those people. I could be almost too humble on some things, and then some things I'm like, oh no, I know I'm the shit. and then that's a little annoying too. But there's got to be some balance there. And you being the type of dominant that's not overly arrogant, not arrogant at all, quite frankly, that is humble, it's easier to recover from those moments.
Yeah.
If you're walking around striving to be what you consider, quote, the perfect dom to be, or trying to convince your sub that you're the perfect dom when there's no way in hell you are, that's going to be a bigger tumble. That's going to be a bigger True. Fall from grace. But just like submissives are really prone, especially new submissives, to putting their dominance up on pedestals, I think sometimes we put our own relationship up on a pedestal. Or we put the idea of the relationship we want on a pedestal, mm-hmm. and then we get into the reality, and it's never going to match the fantasy we had in our head. Almost nothing does.
Right.
Or it will during new relationship energy, mm-hmm. and then there's no way to go from there but down. It can still be good as new relationship energy's coming down. I mean, it is yeah. still good. It's just good in a different way. And if you have these really, really high expectations that can't match reality, that will never keep up with reality, you are going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only reason that people worry and wonder. There's a lot of insecurities. There's a lot of bad tapes out there.
True.
If you've come from bad relationships, especially if they've been abusive on any level, well, then you're programmed to expect that. And
yeah.
just like the first time I discovered a quirk of yours, and it was the hearing you chew thing, because uh-huh. the only other time I heard you eat was when we ate together.
Right.
But now we were having lunch every day at right. not necessarily the same time.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, I hate the sound of this. I hate the sound of this. And I didn't freak out in the sense of running around like my hair was on fire, but I had that moment of, oh my God, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because in my bad tapes, one of the first things I remember disliking was not the sound of his chewing. It's not that. It was some quirk my ex-husband had. I don't even remember what it was, but by towards the end of, hey, it's time to break up this relationship, that had become way bigger because I disliked everything about him. So there was yeah. nothing he could do that would make me mm-hmm. not be just angry all the time. So I did worry. I was like, oh my God. And what was funny is I didn't worry there was something wrong with you. And I think this is really wow. common for people too with these bad tapes. I worried there was something wrong with me. Like, am I such a picky bitch that I can't even maintain a solid relationship because I don't like the way he's the sound of his chewing? And this is where my mind went in 30 seconds. You had no idea. You're reading
wow.
your book, you're chewing. I'm having this like crisis in my head. I have in my mind in 30 seconds completely torn down our relationship and figured I was just a horrible human being. And could our love stand the sound of your chewing? And could it survive?
And all this happened while I was eating lunch and I had no clue.
You're just chewing. And the longer you chewed, the more I thought about it. So what's funny is...
So you love it on the days that I make a smoothie.
Actually, I do, yes. If you would get a straw, I would be even happier. It's why, I don't know if you ever noticed, for a long time, I was eating lunch exactly when you ate it.
Yes.
Or I was leaving the room. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that's a thing. If something about your partner annoys you, it's that one of those kinds of imperfections. Because there's all kinds of ways to be imperfect. And that's nothing. To me, that's not that there's anything wrong with you. That's something about me, right? It's a sensory mm-hmm. thing, or it's something that's about me. So when your partner has a, quote, imperfection that just makes you just want to froth at the mouth kind of thing, you have to decide, is it a habit or a thing they can possibly change? And should they? There's no right answer there. I'd say most of the time, probably not. Or what do you need to do to mitigate this situation? I love you. I'm not ending an entire relationship because one meal a day, you make me want to rip my eyeballs and ears out. Okay. Like just,
damn, that didn't work.
Stop. Yeah. You're going to have to try harder next time. So I had to do something to fix the situation for myself. That's that kind of imperfection. Then there are imperfections. Like if for real, the drumming of my fingers on the desk distracted you to the point you couldn't work, then that's an imperfection. It's not even an imperfection. It's just a habit you don't like, but that's a conversation to have with me and go, I love you so much. You are the light of my life, baby girl. Please fucking stop doing that shit. And then I might be, you know, it's a consent negotiation thing. Right. But then if I agree, I try to stop.
I know for you with your writing, it's a matter of you processing something.
True. It's like if I'm talking on the phone with somebody, I always have pen and paper because I'm a doodler. A lot of people are. It is. It's how I process information. And I'm thinking.
So you have noticed this week that I have really been engrossed in what I'm doing.
Oh my God, your brain's melting out of your ears from all the work you've done.
Been wearing the headphones.
And bopping along to music.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you always listening to music, or sometimes are you pretending to listen
to music?
No,
there's always music.
Okay.
If they're on, there is music playing.
So the music wasn't because you're like, oh, I want to entertain myself while I do mindless work.
That was a good portion
of it. I have to block out the sound of my wife. Oh my God.
No, the music was part of it because it has been helping me to keep moving with what I'm doing.
Yes, and you'll talk about that later, but it has been strenuous, but it's not like challenging work, it's just tedious.
Right.
Anyway.
And a lot of it.
And so this episode is not meant to be let's tease each other about all our quirks. Quirks can be seen as imperfections is the point. And only you can decide if a thing you dislike about your partner is worthy of laughing it off when you can, or it's really a bad thing that you can't.
I mean, there may be some things that, as you know, quirks may be red flags if you're talking about certain things like hygiene with some people or something like that,
or the way you treat somebody else, or how you talk to somebody else. Yeah. I mean, there are some things that aren't little. Personality things, they're not little, like we said, quirks, they're parts of personality, and you can decide if it's worth attempting to see if they will change that behavior, or if you can find a way around it and everything else is still okay, or if it's not okay with you. But that's just one part of a relationship.
Right.
And when we were putting this episode together and I was going over my notes, I realized that in some ways we have talked about all of these things, all the ways.
Little bits and pieces.
Yeah. And don't worry, but we managed all those times to take an hour and a half to talk about them. So we've already ad nauseum discussed the quirks. I think this has been therapy for you. I think you needed to get this shit off your chest. That's what I think. That's fine. But there's also, and we did an entire episode, I think back episode 45, 43, I'll link to it in the show notes, arguments and disagreements, because they do happen and people do worry. They think, oh my gosh, everything was perfect. New relationship energy was this high. And now here we are and we've just had our first fight and I didn't feel very submissive, or I didn't feel very dominant, and I felt out of control, and what's happening and what have I done to my relationship? And you go through, just like I did over chewing, in your mind, you've created this entire scenario in your mind where your entire relationship is crumbling, when really somebody just got really annoyed because you bought the wrong kind of milk. Yeah. Like it wasn't necessarily a big thing, or it was something that could be a big thing only if you don't deal with it. Only if you let it fester or you act like it didn't happen or you one of you does that thing that I know I'm guilty of going, it's fine. It's fine. It doesn't matter. It's fine. When really it does fucking matter. If it matters enough to you to get your emotions high, good or bad, then it matters and it's worthy of at least a conversation. So, you know, yes, even in the most solid, strong, steady, happy, healthy relationships, there's going to be arguments. There better be arguments. I haven't read the advice of any relationship person, kinky or vanilla, that has ever said anything other than it is normal and healthy to have occasional arguments.
Right.
Disagreements.
It's how you work through them.
Right. And the relationship that never disagrees, maybe you don't argue, but you don't. But the disagreement where you don't necessarily see eye to eye. And I believe even in kinky DS relationships where one of you is in control, that's not, there's something wrong there if you never, ever, even slightly disagree.
Right.
Because it's not about the disagreement. It's not about the moment where you don't see eye to eye. I mean, you are the dominant, I'm the submissive. On many, many things, we may disagree and I may still do what you want because that's a choice I make. But it's about being able to acknowledge that you've had the disagreement, be able to express how you feel, know that you've been heard, and then move forward with there in whatever choice you decide to make about that disagreement. So, you know, for the people who get very, very worried, and it usually is from bad tapes, when there's a disagreement, they think their relationship's falling apart because in this first moment, they didn't immediately want to do what the other person wanted to do, or the other person didn't immediately want to do what they wanted to do. They, you know, it's a it's a crack to them in the perfection. Well, your perfection needs some cracks, quite frankly.
Right.
You need it to not be pristine because it's impossible to maintain that. You're gonna have like a Stepford wife kind of thing going, and that's not healthy.
No,
that's not good for anybody. The other thing, I'm gonna try not to go on a rant. Because I think it's very sweet when people do this. And I myself have done this. Okay. So I don't want to be a hypocrite either. But I would like to caution people on thinking through what you mean when you say hashtag relationship goals. And I'm coming at this as somebody who has done this. So early days in my sex blogging life, before I even knew I was submissive, I think this was as I was sort of discovering this stuff. I came across a blog written by a dominant about his relationship with his wife, who is his submissive. It was purely their sex life. Every once in a while, you get like a couple of paragraphs here and there about other aspects of their life, but it was
little snippets.
Yeah, but it the meat of the blog was their sex life, their kinky sex life. And he, as the writer, you would get the insight into what he was thinking and feeling. Which I always love. I love doing that with anybody. I love it with dominance. I love getting in y'all's heads and like poking around in there. That didn't sound creepy. I'm reading it. I'm falling in love with this. I'm imagining what this must be like. I'm telling myself, oh, I want this hashtag relationship goals. I think I told them that. Oh, you're my relationship goals. I want what you have. I want... And I said it and I've had this said to me. I want exactly what you have. Now, I know better now. So I can say, no, the fuck I don't. Their sex was hot. Their kink was closely aligned with some of the things I like. I'd have to try and go back and find the blog now to verify that. But what I remember, it was definitely hitting my hot buttons for sure. But when I think, even for all the times I think, oh, we need to be doing our own DS much better than we are. And, oh, we've got to work on some things. I don't want what they had. I love what you and I have.
Yeah.
I love it in all the iterations we've had it in and how all the ways we've done it. And there were certain things where he was really into discipline. And so she was really disciplined. And there were certain things that when I think back on it, I'm like, no, I wouldn't want that. And also, I only knew that teeny tiny little slice
of what you read on the blog.
Of what I read on the blog. And I have to assume that every bit of it was 100% true.
Yeah.
Right. So I've done it. It's never done from a place of... It's never done badly. It's never done... You know, it's... I don't want to diminish anybody who's ever done it to us. Because I know people do it to us too. I just want to say, be careful what you... Think about what you mean by that. Do you want... a relationship that is relaxed and easy and filled with laughter, I want that for you too. I think everybody should have that. I know we're all different, and I try to be really like, oh, there's no single one way, but I'm telling you, laughter really does make life better. And if you can be comfortable and easy and relaxed with your partner, I just think life is always better. But if you are imagining in your head what your relationship is going to look like and you are literally just cutting your face out and pasting it over my face and blurring the dominance face where John Brown's face should be and thinking, yes, that's what I'm going to have, then I'm going to worry about you because you are, I promise you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And I really think that that tends to happen to most of us who are nowhere near a DS relationship. Because what I think what happens to most of us is that we have this idea in our head of what it's going to be like, and then we meet a person. And those people out there who are like me and have serious trust issues, you don't think they're real at first, so you keep them at arm's length. And you're like denying it, denying it, denying it. So you're not even imagining some big thing in your head. And then out of nowhere, oh, you have this big thing. And of course it looks nothing like this other relationship you might have seen and had fantasized about or imagine having something like it or whoever, whatever it is. And I think that reality hits us early enough that we're mostly okay. Mm-hmm. But I just what we try to present, warts and all. Clearly, please tell me what else you hate about me in front of a hot mic. Go ahead, Daddy. I can take it. We do, and we do it because we can't be anything else other than that, because we're too lazy to edit things out, and because it's important to us to show this side of it. But that's not the truth for everybody else.
No, it's not.
Most people show a highly curated look at their life.
Right.
And so if there are DS relationships out there that you admire, there's not a damn thing wrong with admiring those relationships. It's just when you start comparing your relationship to the relationship you think other people have, if you find it lacking in something, be careful that you're finding it actually lacking because there's something going on between you and that real person.
Yeah.
And not because it's not living up to some picture you had in your head.
Well,
it will never live up to the picture you have in your head. It can be better than that, but it won't be the same.
And the thing, the tough part is, you know, if you're striving for perfection,
oh, you're gonna be very tired.
You're gonna be very tired, and you won't get anywhere. Perfection doesn't exist. Get off that horse.
Right. You will run yourself ragged just trying to catch perfection.
There is nothing wrong with striving to be better.
Right. Or to be your best. Absolutely.
Right. Or to do your best.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely.
All right. You have to. Even if you fail, you need to get back up and keep going.
Right.
But as far as striving for perfection, you're on a hamster wheel.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God. And I hear it. Now, I want your opinion on this because I want your perspective, not necessarily.
Okay.
It's opinion, but it's your perspective because words are hard. So I know it happens with submissives. I know submissives who tell themselves they want to be the perfect submissive.
Mm-hmm.
You can be, let me say it again because I said it earlier, you can be perfect for somebody. You can never actually be perfect. It is impossible. And they create a lot of anxiety for themselves. They make themselves sick.
You can be the right one for somebody.
You can be the right one. That's a better word. But
yes.
Yeah, you're perfect for me, even if you're not perfect, because I love you, even though I hate the sound of your chewing. Anyway, we should have made this a drinking game at the top of the show.
Right.
I had no idea. We've got a lot of repressed stuff, clearly. I just tell myself that the audience, most of them, kind of like the rambles, so we're on brand. Striving to be perfect will only you'll make yourself sick. You'll never think you're good enough. You will never be completely at ease in your relationship. And what I can tell you as somebody with high anxiety who has been trying to be perfect my whole freaking life, there is nothing better than realizing that you are enough. And it can take you a while to get there. Maybe you've got bad tapes. Maybe you've got a mental health issue. Maybe you just don't know how to be any other way yet. Maybe it's a trust issue. But I know there are submissives out there who break their back trying to be the perfect submissive. And it's not, it should never be required. If you've got a dominant who's trying to demand perfection from you, I want you to take a good, hard, long mm-hmm. look at that relationship, because something ain't right. But it, to me, DS becomes better and easier the moment you stop expecting perfection from yourself.
Yeah.
So the thing I want to know from you, John Brownstone, whom okay. I love very much.
Uh-oh.
As a dominant who talks to other dominants.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever experienced that for yourself, that feeling like you need to be perfect? Or have you talked to other dominants who have this concern that they're trying to be the, quote, perfect dominant, either in general or for their specific submissive?
I think for the most part, the dominants that I have talked to, especially in the community, they don't have a sense of being perfect or expecting perfection. I find them to be most realistic about things.
Well, let's talk about a different word, because this is sometimes not used in the same way, but I can see it being used in the same way. Good enough.
Ah.
It's not quite the same as perfection.
No, it's not.
Because perfection is expecting everything to go whatever, quote, right might be.
I think
good enough is slightly different.
Well, here's the difference. Here's the difference. Perfection is unattainable.
Right, it's a pedestal kind of situation.
It's so far up there. It's a carrot chase. Okay. I'm going to say this is more of a opinion, maybe?
Well, everything's opinion.
Everything's opinion. Good enough is, I know you, okay? I have known you for X amount of years now. I know what you are truly capable of. All right? So if you don't achieve a certain task, all right, I know that you didn't fail because it was too tough, because you are more than capable of achieving that. Does that make sense?
It does. You took that in a direction I didn't mean, but you took it in a good direction. I was asking what you thought about you being good enough, and yet you did touch on something really, really important, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because the expectations, first of all, the expectations I think we have of each other can have high standards,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I think your standards are going to depend on your dynamic, your protocol, your personality, just how
right.
you look at the world. There's a lot of variables that I think go into that. But you can have high standards for each other and what you expect of each other in this partnership you've created in DS. And so I think that that's probably a fine line to walk between, from your perspective to a submissive, knowing what I'm capable of and expecting me to be able to meet that capability mm-hmm. and reach those goals versus perfection of never fucking up, of never making
right.
a mistake, of there not being a crack in the facade. And I think that's an absolutely valid point. And I love that that was not at all what I meant, but that was brilliant. So thank you for that. I like that. I like that because that, one, I think that shows... that's a little bit of the inner workings of you that I asked if you had ever not felt good enough, and you like totally like did not internalize that at all. I think that gives me my answer. But I think that is also right, though. Don't strive for perfection. I'll speak to submissives as a submissive. Don't strive for perfection. Strive for good enough. Strive for being the best that you can be, which is often better than we think we're capable
mm-hmm.
of. And in many DS relationships, and I say this as an observer of conversations and as somebody who's had many conversations addressed and towards me, a lot of our dominance, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to help us be the best that we can
right.
be. And many submissives will say that that's what we want. But then the getting into it and getting into the details of that could be scary, because it's another way of pushing boundaries
mm-hmm.
and pushing limits. It's a different kind of limits. It's not a kink limit. It's the limits of what you're capable of. And many of us don't always have the confidence to understand exactly what we're capable of. And so that then I think also becomes another layer of trying to let go of perfection, because if your limits of being of who you are being pushed and stretched because your dominant has faith in you and believes that you are capable of more than you think you're capable of, and so they then give you tasks or rules or whatever mm-hmm. to push those boundaries and limits right. and push you. When you mess up, because you, of course you will, if it's a new thing, you're just human, eventually we all mess up on something, that's not a lack of perfection.
No.
That isn't a failure, because a lot of people will take the lack of perfection as a failure. They're not the same thing, but some people treat them like they're the same
what
thing.
People, I think, fail to do a good amount of the time is failure is inevitable. Okay? It's going to happen.
Right.
We all make mistakes.
And failure, I think how we each personally interpret what failure means, because to me, failure would be this relationship ending. Me mm-hmm. forgetting to make your coffee, I'm going to feel like a failure for about 30 seconds. I'm going to feel really shitty. Okay? That is not, in my mind.
You're my coffee bitch.
I know. I like being your coffee bitch. failure, that is not a fail. I'm not doing this right, and there's a mic in front of me. maybe it's because we've now been together long enough,
mm-hmm.
and I have learned how to see things differently over the years.
Yeah.
I no longer see forgetting to do a thing as a failure. Was there a time when I saw that as failure? Yeah. Because I'm a perfectionist, my therapist says so, and I have these tendencies. And
you
these
were tested.
yes, and my daddy did have me tested, and I am crazy. I don't see it that way anymore. Do I see it as a mistake? Do I hate it? Do I fucking hate it? It makes me crazy when I forget something. Of course it does.
But do you learn a lesson from your mistake and know not to make it again?
Yes.
Do the same thing twice.
Yes.
There
and
you go.
So that is the thing when you have that moment where you feel like you have failed because you haven't met an expectation, you haven't done a thing right, even if it's a thing you've done correctly before, because we are all fallible. That's not a failure of you or your role as a submissive. It's a mistake, it's a failing, but it's a temporary thing. And what you do next is what matters most, how you react to it. I used to get really defensive mm-hmm. about how it wasn't really my fault, or let me fix it. I still think all of those things because some things will never change. But really I'm because of the way we structure our relationship, because of mm-hmm. we haven't used this word in a long time, but in DS this happens, the way you sort of trained me and taught me, I know that the first thing I need to do is just to apologize.
Yeah.
That's not my natural way. My natural way is to try and fix it and then explain why it wasn't really that wrong, even as I'm fixing it. I am a work in progress, y'all. So I have learned when those things happen, I've learned two things. One, mm-hmm. apologize first. Right. And two, not to immediately beat myself up over it and let it crush me.
Yeah.
You know, and that I think is the lesson to learn between trying to achieve a perfection, which is mm-hmm. impossible, and being human in this relationship and understanding that sometimes you're going to fuck up. Sometimes you're going to forget. Sometimes things are going to happen. And it's what you do next that determines, do things keep moving forward smoothly, or are we mm-hmm. in a situation where there's a problem now?
Well, even from my side of the coin, you know, when you make a mistake, take responsibility for it. Own it.
Right. Both sides of the slash there. Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. It doesn't matter, you know, big D or little S. I still remember this, how early on in our relationship, how shocked you were. I mean, I don't remember what it was anymore at this point, because it was a few years down the road, but I fucked up big time. And I came to you and I was like, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
God, I love it when you say that.
And you were just like, the look on your face when I said that was in a way priceless.
Well, because I had never been in a relationship where my partner could admit that they had done something wrong that mm-hmm. I agreed was wrong. And so there's two things here. One, that I think is a strength of character, and I don't think I could ever be involved in any other relationship, certainly not with a dominant. I cannot submit to anybody who cannot admit when they themselves are wrong. Because if there's any dominant out there walking around thinking that they are perfection and anything they want is right because they want it, oh, you're going to have to get the hell away from me. No. That ain't cool. That ain't cool at all. But I had also just never experienced that. In any relationship I'd ever had, I never had somebody who I thought had done something wrong say that they knew they had done something wrong, give me a heartfelt apology for it, and then do what they could going forward to make sure it didn't happen. If I mm-hmm. recall that moment, you were worried. My trust was broken. We've already been through that. We're not allowed to let that happen because you can't get that back.
Right.
Thankfully, our relationship is strong enough. It takes a lot more from you to be able to break my trust. But that puts in mind another thing, and this again is from the submissive perspective. I don't know how dominants are about this, but submissives tend to, we talked about this, you put your dominant up on a pedestal.
Right.
So not only, like we said before, the fall is going to be rough because everybody comes mm-hmm. off that pedestal, but here's what a lot of us, not all of us, but many of us, including myself, do. When you think you've done something wrong, and it's not something that I like objectively go, yeah, that was wrong and you fucked up, right? It's just a thing you're like, oh, my bad. I almost don't want you to apologize. I don't want you to admit that you did something wrong. How many times, and I know you're looking at me like, what? How many times have you gone, oh, baby girl, I fill in the blank, I am so sorry, and I've gone, no, daddy, no, it's okay, it's fine, don't apologize, don't say you're sorry, no, I can't, you know, and I have this moment of, no, la, 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 I can't hear you, I don't want you to say those words. And there are times when I don't, something about it on a submissive level, on a baby girl level, mm-hmm. I don't want it to be true that that was a mistake on your part. Okay. Mm. Now, if the totally not submissive side of my personality is in charge, ooh, that makes me feel like I have multiple personalities and I'm crazier than we knew. If not that side of me, my vanilla side, there, my vanilla side.
Okay.
If my vanilla side is in charge of the brain, is thinking, I can objectively go, yeah, that I don't really like that. I agree with you. It's not that big of a deal. I could shrug that off, but mm-hmm. you know, you're technically right. That wasn't okay. I'm glad you apologized. But if I'm in submissive frame of mind, I can't. I mean, it's physically painful to me.
Oh wow.
Which is very, and I'm not saying a lot of submissives feel that way, but I do have these conversations with people, and we have, some of us have similar responses of no, you're not, it's fine, daddy, don't apologize, please, I can't stand it, no. And I think that on one level that's a little okay, but it's a little more not okay, because that could be a sign in some situations of being able to too easily forgive things that I think we should forgive for sure, but to overlook, not forgive, because forgiveness is not necessarily a bad thing, but to overlook things. And it is much better that you can look and go, ooh, yeah, I kind of fucked that up a little bit. Okay, let me make that right. Let me admit to it. Let me admit that I fucked up. And I say fucked up, that makes it sound like you did something awful. It could be that you forgot to get me something I asked you to pick up from the store, you know?
Yeah.
But you own it. You go, ooh, I'm so sorry. Here's what we can do. You know, here's the solution for it. And we move on. But it's such a small thing to me that I, you know, you're my big, strong D. You're not on a pedestal, but there is sometimes that thinking of, oh, you can do no wrong. Of course you can. Yeah. And it's also okay quote, do wrong.
It's no different from being on the big D side and saying, ooh, I have found this submissive, and she is going to serve me perfectly from today on.
You poor thing, you picked the wrong one.
Yeah, okay, all right. So it's not possible.
No, you know, it's not.
Mistakes are going to be made. Things are going to happen. It's not.
Life happens.
Yeah.
And you know, and I this brings to mind another thing I think that is not within a relationship. I think it's what we do within the community. And community can be where you are on Twitter, Instagram, your, you know, FetLife, your Munch, whatever. I think sometimes some of us are, I don't know if guilty is too harsh of a word, are prone to sort of doing a little bit of performance. So our feelings in the relationship can be completely real. The relationship can be strong or it cannot be strong. Maybe it's faltering. Maybe it's dead and we haven't done anything with it, wherever. But when other people can see, we might say and do all the quote right things so that nobody else looking in from the outside thinks that we're not perfect.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I think that's part of why I kind of have stronger feelings about hashtag relationship goals, because I do think, is that really them, or is that just the part of them that they want you to see? But I think that even if you're just like a person who is randomly out there, I think that that is something that's possible. I would not say everybody does it. I do it, not recently, not since we've been doing the podcast. But I do remember moments, certainly in our local community, where my head had one reaction to a thing, but outwardly, because people were watching, I was sort of that very obedient, demure, quote, perfect submissive. We used to talk about this, actually, not because it's what you expected, but it's because I thought that that's what would look right to other people looking at us. And we have talked about this a long time ago in a past episode about how a submissive is a reflection of their dominant.
True,
and right. I do still believe that. I think a submissive is their own human being. But if you want to represent your DS relationship and your style, submissive reflects that. They reflect who their dominant is as well. I think a dominant can be a reflection as well. I think that's
It's a two-way street.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, so I do believe that. And I do believe that my behavior reflects well or not on you. And so in public, I do tend to behave. But I'm not behaving in a way you expect me to behave. I'm behaving in a way so that other people will think that I am this, you know, stereotypically, quote, perfect or good, probably good. I wouldn't use the word perfect,
good,
but good submissive, who doesn't make eye contact and looks down and waits for her dominant to, you know, whatever. But, and I do remember the first time you were like, you're not going to say anything to that over there? What are you doing? Why are you acting this way? And I was like, oh, I can do that? And then our local Munch was never the same, because it was at that moment I got your permission to be who I am,
right,
who you want me to be, not who outsiders looking in might expect to see. Now,
yet at a play party where protocol is,
and that's different.
Protocol is expected.
That's different. That is different. And that is, we go into it knowing those expectations.
Right.
But this is the performance we put on for people because we don't want them to think badly of us, or we want them to think a certain way of us. Now, anybody who follows us on Twitter knows I don't have that problem. They know I don't have that problem. It's warts and all around here. But I the way I look at life is if I do a thing, I am not so fucking special that I'm the only person on the planet doing a thing. So I automatically assume that there are others who do that too, where you say what you think is the right thing, or you respond to something in the way that you think is, quote, the right thing, because you want to present yourself as a certain type of submissive or kinkster or dominant. And by and large, that's fine. I think we all have that that right to do that. How do we want to be seen in the world, and how do we want to present ourselves?
Right.
Not everybody is comfortable just airing all the wacky, wild, intimate things of their lives. That part I do know makes me a little unique. You know, I've brought you along kicking and screaming.
Yeah, well, what a roller coaster.
But I do think that where it can become, dangerous is too strong of a word. Where it becomes not good is if you buy into that for yourself and you think that's what makes you, quote, perfect. It's a false narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also is not great for other people coming into the community, because if that's what they see, then that's what they think is how it's supposed to be. And I always think it's much better to just be who you are, even if, from a submissive perspective, there are times you don't sound like what anybody might expect a submissive to sound like. Because you know what? Whoever you are as a submissive or a dominant, that's what a submissive or dominant can be.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're not always quiet or demure or subservient or whatever you think the stereotype of a submissive ought to be, or some asshole online tells you a submissive is supposed to be. And the same is true for dominance. It's why the humble, laid back, not arrogant dominance of the world are so prized, because it feels like they are so rare. And yet I know, and you know, dominants we've talked to, new dominants who worry that they're not really dominant because they're not calling their partner bitch and ordering mm-hmm. them around 24/7. And they're like, no, I really just like want to feel pleasure, and I don't really want to beat their ass. And my, you know, and even their own partner will say, oh, you clearly can't be dominant because you're not, you know, X, Y, Z. And so when we present this face of what we think other people will think the, quote, perfect dominant or submissive looks like, then all we're doing is showing people who don't know any better that that's what we, you know, that's how it's supposed to be, which isn't okay. And I think we're setting ourselves up for a lot of stress, because it's really hard to maintain something that ain't real.
True.
The coolest thing about the fact that we just probably should really like learn to hide more, quite frankly, is that I never have to worry. I never have to worry what people think of me. You either like me or you don't. And it's okay if you don't. I'm not here to be liked by everybody. Right. I know there are dominants out there of all genders and all sexualities who listen to me and go, oh, fuck no. And I'm okay with that, because I'm not there for them. I'm not, that's, you know, and that's okay. And I think that when we get more comfortable showing that, you know, dominants can be insecure and submissives, a lot of us are really strong-willed. That's why submission is kind of so nice for some of us. That there is no such thing as the perfect dominant or submissive. Yeah. So that went in a direction, again, I did not expect.
No.
Yeah, it might have been over sooner if we had stopped bitching about each other's quirks a little earlier.
I'll give you equal time. What other besides my chewing?
The fact that you walk in on me in the bathroom. If the door is closed and the fan is on, there is only one thing going on in there, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. But that is what is true, and everybody knows what I mean. And you just walk on in and you want to talk to me, and I'm having a moment, and I'm trying to make sure that it's like I never actually have that moment to the outside world. Like that thing never actually happens. And you ruin it for me. You intrude with your reality. Like, you don't care that I have body functions. Well, I care, okay? That is my private time. And yes, sometimes I'm sitting there hiding, watching YouTube videos.
Right.
If nothing can convince you that there's such a thing as perfection, just listen to this, any of our episodes. Because I would not, never claim perfection. I'm a hot mess. I'm your hot mess wife. I need that t-shirt, hot mess wife. I think I just have found over the years, if it's something I can't laugh about, then I need to deal with that, because everything else between us is so good. There are times you frustrate the hell out of me. Okay, there are. I'm not going to pretend there aren't. But they're such small things that in the grand scheme of the relationship, they are laughable, because what's good is so fucking good. Nobody's going to beat that. Nobody's ever going to compare. So those little things just humanize it. And
there are times you are frustrating as hell too.
I know.
Milk Nazi.
I revel. I revel in it. I want to drive you crazy. That's part of the baby girl brand. Okay. I'm sassy, not bratty. That's all that fucking matters. Okay. So this was a wide ranging conversation on, I thought, one topic, but no, we hit like a dozen. If you have thoughts about it, if you have different experiences, or if you have similar experiences but just different takes on them, we always love to hear from people.
Yes,
you know, y'all know our rule. You can tell us anything. You just can't be an asshole about it. So,
be respectful.
Right. If you disagree, that's cool. Let's talk. Teach me, give me a different perspective. I may not change my mind, but it's still cool to have.
Mm-hmm.
So feel free. Reach out to us on Twitter. Reach out to us by email. We have a contact button on our website so that you can get to us there. Reach out to us on FetLife. Instagram. I've been awful about Instagram messages. I ended up responding to one that was like a week old. So if you message us on Instagram and you do not hear from us in a few days, like, tap us on some other social media spot to go, hey, I messaged you. Email is my personal favorite, but that's okay. But yeah, I mean, I think that for many people, the idea of perfection is both this thing we strive for and the thing that stresses us out the most in life. And trying to achieve perfection can kill a relationship. And so that can mean a lot of different things, as you can tell from our conversation. But whatever it means to you, what I would ask you to do is to try to go easier on yourself. Love yourself a little bit more. Perfectionism is not love, says the perfectionist. It is not. It is fear. It is fear in a different costume is all it is. My perfectionism is my fear of failure, is my fear of messing up. It's my fear of not being loved. It's my fear of being rejected. It is pure fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you this as somebody who is a perfectionist in every other part of my life. The moment I stopped trying to be perfect in this relationship, a good relationship became even better. It became the best relationship of my life. So if you can find that person who accepts you warts and all and will laugh at your quirks even as they like bluster at you in the middle of them sometimes grousing about turning off a damn fan, you're doing pretty good is all I gotta say. I don't know if we've helped anybody on this episode, but I've had the most fun in a long time. So on that note, we're gonna go into the bonus section.
Yeah.
And we did get mail, so if anybody wants to hear about that, stick around. Be a cricket. We love our crickets.
Okay. Are we good?
I don't know. I don't know.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. And maybe we'll still be laughing when we do. Daddy.
Yes, baby girl.
Can I please talk to the crickets? It's been 2 weeks.
It's
been such a long time. Please.
It's not that long.
It's been a long time.
2 weeks is not a long time.
I got tweets from the crickets saying they missed us.
Mm.
We can't do that to the crickets. Think of the crickets. Please, Daddy.
Go ahead, baby girl.
Thank you, Daddy. And just a reminder, while I'm talking to crickets, you can be vaping your little heart out over there. Y'all, he marks like the time where he's got to go back and edit between the bonus section and the regular show. And then I'm waiting and then we're talking, whatever. And he doesn't miss a beat. Pin down, hand out, grabs the e-cigarette and holding it and just waiting.
Episode's over. You had your point. You had your time.
I'm not annoyed by
clock
that.
Clock has stopped.
That's not an annoying quirk. That's fucking hilarious. That proves your dependence on the Whoopee, which we have explained a few times. If you don't know what the Whoopee is, I don't know what episode we explained. And you reach out to me privately. I won't go through that again. And you still haven't vaped.
No.
People need their Darth Vapor, okay?
Talk about the mail.
We did get mail. We got awesome mail. Our friend who I chat with a lot on Facebook, Tiffany, was recently in New York City. She does not live in New York City, but she was there and found a keychain in the shape of a heart that was purple and said Kayla, and that's fucking perfect. And then also in the box sent a thing of kitten and puppy stickers. And here's what I love about that. I have been on a mission for a year, about a year, that we need a second pet. I started with a cat because I thought, okay, that'd be a nice balance. One dog, one cat. And a certain somebody named John Brownstone loves cats, adores cats, and cats love him. Like, stray cats come up to him, y'all, because he's a much better human being than I am, and they know that. But he's also allergic to them, and I tried really hard to convince him he could get over that allergy and just power through. We do not have a cat. So then I moved on to the we need a dog. And we need, of course, another small dog. I'm a small dog person. After my whole childhood of being in with around big dogs, I really am a small dog person. And our dog, Saki, who is adorable and an old man and the chillest old man I've ever met alive, totally needs a companion. I have been shot down. But I have also been assured that if we, when we move, because we know we're moving, and if we get a house with a fenced yard, there could be another dog.
Right.
So, guess who will have a fenced fucking yard? Y'all know how I am. I'm like a dog with a bone. Literally this time. But the stickers, my whole point to that. I went off. Y'all know how I am. The stickers certainly make it much, much easier for me to remind him of the cute, cuddly power of little fur balls that if I like, I just, I want, I keep calling them pocket puppies. I want a small puppy that as a puppy could fit in my pocket. I'm a woman. I never have pockets in any of my clothes that will fit anything, but I can find a way. Maybe I could wear some of your clothes and fit a little baby right there.
I wear my t-shirts.
I know you say I look good in your t-shirts.
You do.
Okay. So we got great mail and we loved it. I know a couple people have sent stuff and we have not received it yet. I hope it's just being delayed. I know how that goes. I do know that one of our author friends, Oleander Plume, has sent us something in the mail. And it's a book I've read on ebook, but you haven't read yet.
I haven't read it.
You are going to get the hard copy to read. And we'll talk about it when we get it.
You said hard.
Oh my Lord. Are you 12? Are you 12? Who's the baby girl, baby boy around here? Just trying to figure this out. So do you want to tell everybody why, at this top of the show, before we found our groove, your brain was melting out of your ear?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it in the bonus section on Patreon, so just like a quick
I'm not going to go into big detail.
But you have been working really hard this week.
I have really...
hard.
Like Beavis and Butthead here.
I know, but better. But way better. Way better than Beavis and Butthead. I didn't like Beavis and Butthead back in the day, although they make me giggle now. So what does that tell you? Anyway, your brain's melting. Tell them why.
I have been revamping. I actually have a Wood Dom website.
Right. So we've talked in the past. His vanilla wood turning is on Etsy. He's the Wood Dom because I think I'm funny when I make up names. But you also have a website that is thewooddom.com. Right.
And I had not done a whole lot with it in the time that I had it. But certain circumstances have come about that since we got back from vacation, it has been a project, and I am revamping the website.
Right, to be a full e-commerce store.
To be a full e-commerce store. And I have spent the week redoing themes.
Editing photos?
Yeah, I imported all my inventory, or three quarters of my inventory. There's a lot I haven't added on yet to the shop. But when it imported, it did not pull photos.
So, but that was ended up being a good thing. You had to retake a lot of photos.
I've been retaking a lot of photos.
So they'll look even better.
So it does look better. But I've been working on that.
I know. And y'all, so... Okay, y'all know how we are, and I said a few months ago that I had to get serious about my physical health so that I would stop being miserable all the time, and so we walk, or I walk twice a day now. certain someone usually joins me for the evening walk, but he's been so busy this week, he hasn't, to the point that I said, okay, because you can tell I'm a submissive around here. I said, okay, I'm going to give you a couple more days of this because I know what it's like to go down the rabbit hole of a big project like this and you just want to get it done. I said, but you go too long without your afternoon, your evening walk, I'm going to say something, because we both know that sitting at your computer all day, 12 to 14 hours a day, is not healthy.
Look what it did to you.
Well, I know. I just had another shot in my neck today.
Yeah.
But so,
But, you know, I'm just trying to power through to get the bulk of it done.
And it's...
And I'm more than halfway done at this point.
So here's what I've discovered today. What? And I don't use this word lightly.
Uh-oh.
Watching you work this diligently and this focused on your website, wanting to get it perfect, wanting to do all the admin stuff, make sure it's right and tight, I have felt compersion.
Really?
And I know that that's not the definition of the word, but it is not unlike the feeling of happiness and joy I felt the first time I watched you kiss another woman. Because it's a thing, watching somebody kiss you is a thing I can relate to with both of you. That joy of that connection with you, that's a level of joy. You are doing something that I can fully understand. I can understand the drive. I can understand the focus. I can understand the, everybody shut the hell up, I gotta work. I can understand the, I don't want to get out of my seat. I can, like, everything you've gone through, I empathize on a huge level because you know I've been there with multiple websites. But it is so cool. And it literally has made me so happy to see you have your own version of that.
Yeah.
And to see how you've just dug in and done it. Now, you dig in and do things like you go out to your shop and you build things. And I'm happy for you. And I'm proud of you. And I think you're a talented creator. And I think it's amazing what you do. But I have no connection with that. Like, it's the other to me. I'm like, I couldn't know. I would lathe my finger right off if I tried to do that. Okay. But I know what this is. And to see you have a similar experience, I was the Grinch whose heart grew a few sizes. It was the coolest feeling. I have loved it. I worry about you because I know what happened to me. And I'm going to take care of you because I know what can happen.
Well, you were amazed, and I'm not going to go too much into this either because this was discussed last night.
On our Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I bought a big boy toy today.
You did.
And you expected me to come home and just...
Rip into it,
and I didn't.
You're like, I have a website to build. I have shit to do online. And I'm like, I think he gets me more now than he did before. And this is fucking awesome. I loved it. I've loved watching you. Here's what I've loved even more. So you tend to doubt your abilities online, which I find amazing because you've been sex blogging as long as I have. You do it less, but that's how we freaking met, was through a sex blog. Anyway, normally when it's online stuff, you will ask my opinion. And even if you don't necessarily completely agree, you'll usually go with my opinion because the assumption is I know more because I have more experience. We were talking about the layout and design of your site, and I said, well, me personally, I like more white space. I don't like this, that, or the other. And you went, huh. And then you went and did your own thing, and I was like, this feels weird. And I did have a moment of, wait, what? But then that was early on this week, and then I've just watched you through the week, and it really has been. You're doing something that has nothing to do with me, and yet I feel so connected to you.
Huh.
And so happy for you.
Okay.
It is the closest thing I can word I can use for it is compersion, because it is almost identical to how I felt during a threesome. I don't know. Everything's about sex. That's all I got to say. Everything's about sex. My news is that I did get, hopefully, the last epidural steroid shot in my neck.
Yes.
For anybody who knows necks, you'll know this probably better than I do, but the last shot was at C7, C8, and this was C5, C6. And actually, I would love anybody who does know this stuff to tell us if we're right. So here's our theory. The first one I got was uncomfortable. Anybody jabbing a needle into your spine and then like pushing fluid in there, medicine or whatever it is, yes, that's uncomfortable. This one was actually downright painful, and one of my arms actually started to tremble uncontrollably, and I had pain in that arm all day, and I was like, does that mean that we finally hit the right spot where the problem was? I would love to know if that's true or not. I have no clue. I don't feel better yet. I actually still hurt from the procedure because this one was actually painful, but I'm hopeful that this will be, the second one will be enough. So that I did that this morning and we went to breakfast. I consoled mm-hmm. myself, my pain with an omelet because, you know, why not? And then we went and bought your big boy toy and I got a coffee because of course I did, y'all. and then I came home and I'm like, I am so tired and I've just had a medical procedure and aren't I owed a nap? And instead of that, I wrote a piece for a client I really like that's more than just I write for them and they pay me. Like, it's a partnership kind of thing. And the response I got, this is really cool. I feel like I need to brag on myself. Now, granted, they are not people who write about sex toys, so that's why they hired me. There are others who might do this better than I do, but the response I got was, wow, this is PhD level stuff. Yeah, it was 3,500 words, though. And yes, you can write that many words about sex toys. I promise it's possible. So that was really cool. That, you know, it's like, okay, I started my day with a doctor poking and prodding and I ended up with like this, you know, this reaction that I never expect that kind of stuff. I'm always like, okay, here it is. What do you want me to fix? I'm sure there's something I need to fix. And there's some edits, but yeah, it was cool. It was a good day. And then, I had an idea that I ran by our friend, not just my friend, Misha Elliott, who's a great author. So that was cool. And then y'all, I didn't say it while we were recording earlier, but a few times we had each other laughing so hard. I had tears in my eyes. It was, and y'all, I'm the type of person that if I get to the point where I laugh until I cry, I have cried, laughed, comboed for 30 minutes before. Like, I'm really glad I nipped that one in the bud before it could happen, because we would have had to edit the show. 30 minutes of uncontrollable sobbing / laughing is not what anybody wants to listen to. So it's been kind of a wild day.
Yeah, it has.
It's weird. There's sometimes it feels like things are moving super duper fast. Like, we're making changes and doing mm-hmm. things and moving forward, and it's like everything's going at lightning speed. And then there are other things like moving and getting the house ready to sell next year.
Right.
That, it, of course, it's slow because we're a year out, but it's like turtle pace.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, it's never.
And yet things are happening there too.
I know. We got a new garage door opener.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of the next people who will own this place because we lived here 3.5 years with a manual garage door, and now we have a button.
Well, there was a garage door here. It just didn't work. Or a garage door opener.
It just didn't work.
It just didn't work.
We didn't replace it when we first moved in.
Right.
I know. And next month we get new lighting.
Yeah.
And we'll finally have good lighting in our kitchen.
We'll actually be able to see in the kitchen.
What? Or we'll know what our dinner looks like. I go in the kitchen from time to time. My coffee cup has to be washed every so often. And no matter how many hints I put out of just like lining them up on the counter, nobody else will wash them. So eventually I have to go back in and I have to wash.
That is untrue.
This past week, I have like, actually 2 weeks, I have been desperate for somebody else to wash my coffee cups. And nobody washed them, no matter how nice and neat I lined them up like little soldiers next to the sink. And then I got desperate, so I put them in the sink.
That's because I've been trying to keep up with my coffee cups while I'm working here at my desk.
Oh, hashtag coffee problems. And y'all would not know it, but we have not had any coffee tonight, so I don't know what's wrong with us. But we do need to stop because eventually we have to go to sleep.
Right.
And eventually we want
to
put this...
And eventually we need to put this up, and I still have to edit.
Oh, we don't really edit these things. It takes you 5 minutes.
I know. But then it's got to be uploaded and...
That takes me 5 minutes.
Okay. I'll be timing you.
Oh, please do. Because if I have any extra time left over, I'll go find something else to do. Y'all know I could talk to you guys for another hour. I'm not gonna, but I could, because you know I love you. Thank you for...
Yes, thanks everybody for being here with us. And
yeah, and for being so supportive, even when we get really quiet on Twitter because we're doing stuff, or when we, you know, do weird stuff or silly stuff or new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I did say this in the little Patreon podcast. I said, and I'll say it here, it is very strange to me to be so transparent, not with our lives, I don't have a problem with that, but with our work and our goals and the things we do, because it means that, yeah, there's people watching when you succeed, but man, there's a lot of people watching when you stumble and fall too. And we have, I think, gained a better sense of humor about it all over the past few mm-hmm. months. We've had a lot of stumbles. We've learned a lot. Every time we've stumbled, we've learned something. Yeah. Just like I mailed off today a shipment of 2 paddles and a cane, and we finally got the right size box for it.
Yeah.
It only took us, what, 6 months of shipping mm-hmm. these things out to finally get a better box. So it's things like that, and it's things like the community, the online part of the community not doing what it was what we intended it to do, and the changes we make. And it's really cool that you guys sort of are go along on the ride with us
mm-hmm.
and still like show up and don't go, yeah. Oh, these people are, ooh, I've got to get away from these people. So yeah, we love you for lots of reasons, yeah, and we're glad you're our crickets. I can't speak now. All the words are gone. Just all, I've used them all up. I'm now empty.
Okay.
So I guess it means we have to go, huh?
Yes.
Damn it. Love you guys.
We'll be back next week.
Yes, we will. We don't have any vacation plans for a while.
For a while.
I know. Well, that's okay. Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you.
Mean it.